Come take it away.
I did it, I did it, I did it, ho.
A magic carpet ride.
I did it, 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 ho.
Thank you for taking a ride on the Freedom Train Podcast Series. I'm your host, Joseph Moore, and as always, ride with me is my good homie, Mr. Patrick Irvin. And remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by PaxInc. That's PACCSINC. And PaxInc is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit their website at www.pacticsinc.org. While you're on the main page, scroll down a bit, you will see a big old Amazon Smile logo. And that's because through Amazon Smile, you can support PAX Inc. as you purchase your items off of Amazon. Because we know all y'all people like the Amazon and all this rolling going on. So people getting a whole lot of Amazon going on because people was Amazoning before the Rona. So people eat Amazon even more now. Now, through all of your Amazon and exploits, what you can do is sign up with PAX Inc. through Amazon Smile. Right, and then a percentage of your purchases, right, will go to PAX Inc., right, and that way you'll be getting what you need and supporting the black community all at the same time. Same time. So while you're on PAX Inc. website, make sure you click that, go to that menu and check out their different things that they bring to the table, like the codes of conduct, how you can become a member, how you can donate, how you can get involved with organizations. There's a learning center tab with a whole bunch of resources. Make sure you click on that. And also click on that store tab. And once again, that's www.pactsinc.org. And while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Learn more about myself, Joseph Orr. Learn more about Patrick Irvin, Queen Candace, Queen Shelby, and the boy Enigma September as we continue to do our thing, bring y'all some of the most bestest podcast you have ever heard in your life. Hey, Pat.
What up?
Tell the people about advertising right here on the Freedom Train Network, or specifically the Freedom Train Podcast Series.
Right, all right, all right, all right. All right. So check this out, people. We have updated. One more time for the people in the back. Shut up, bitch. I'm sorry. We have updated our sponsorship package, and I was not talking to your mother just then. I apologize for that. We're probably going to edit this part out. Anyway.
No, we're not.
Why are we not going to edit it out, Joe?
Take it like an adult, who you said it to.
I ain't said it to nobody. I just said it.
Well, ain't nobody hurt then. You good.
You know people be hurt all the time. You know what times we living in.
Hey, whoever hurt, he wasn't talking to you. You was talking to you, not him.
You was talking. All right, so anyways, we have updated our sponsorship packet. So we have packages, and we have single advertisements. So single advertisements is $15 for one 15-second advertisement, $25 for one 30-second advertisement, $35 for one 60-second advertisement. But we also have these packages, right? So if you get the bronze package, you get four 15-second advertisements per podcast, four podcast episodes. Now for $55, that's a huge savings. You can do the math. Then if you get the silver package, it's $90, which is four 30-second advertisement per podcast for four episodes. It's a huge savings. You do the math. And then for the gold package, you get four 60-second advertisements per podcast for four podcast episodes. It's a huger savings. You do the math. And with all of that, you know,
straight up,
you got some custom advertisements that you want to do, some custom packages you want to make, hit us up. And also, we have the Freedom Train title packages, which are a little bit more expensive, but you get your name listed on the show title. Like, you get to be, like, people to think, like, you big time, big time. And remember, the Freedom Train shows, all of the Freedom Train shows, but this one in particular, is doing well over 100,000, well over 200,000 hits per quarter. So, you know, if you come fuck with us, you know, people are going to come fuck with you as long as your advertising
right,
fly.
People don't know about you.
Yeah, we don't have no responsibility for the effectiveness of your advertising. That's on you.
Hey,
but we can promise you that some people will hear it or see it.
Hey, we at you. No, look, we at you. All right, we at you in the universe, in the stratosphere. We at you doing our thing. So holler at us, man. We got these packages. Y'all email us at thankyou@freedomtrainradio.com, or you can email me at joe@freedomtrainradio.com or patrick@freedomtrainradio.com. If you want to get down with the donation, you know, black businesses, helping black businesses and other type of businesses, whoever it is, you heard me? Really going down in the south.
Uh-huh. And also, Joe, tell them about your OnlyFans page.
Yes, OnlyFans.com/SweetDickWilly if you want to support your homeboy. That's once again OnlyFans.com/SweetDickWilly, where I have videos, all types of videos of me performing various sexual acts at the highest peak of sexuality. You will be very pleased with my work. I only do high quality sexual work because I only a high quality sexual professional and high quality sexual being. That is so. OnlyFans.com/SweetDickWilly, or you can just cash at me directly at $JoeWard84 for some explicit sexual content. There you go. Hey man, Patrick, tell them about your page on Christian Mingle.
So.
Christian Mingle. Pat on Christian.
You weren't ready, and I ain't got one. So let's keep moving.
Hey man, whatever be. Nah, it's going down though. Hey, Breonna Taylor killer still ain't arrested. That's that bullshit. Why aren't? Well, we know why. I'm so used to asking questions that now I be checking myself. So you heard the latest with the Breonna Taylor? Did we talk about that?
I heard about somebody got shot at a protest for her.
Yes. Well, yeah, that's one of the latest things that has happened. But I was talking about the police officers who killed Breonna Taylor. They were fired, but they still haven't been arrested for her death. And I'm just thinking, well, if you fired them, that means they did something wrong. And in this case, they're wrongdoing with death. So why the fuck ain't they arrested? You know what I'm saying? You feel me? Or is my logic not lining up? Do my 2 + 2 = 17 or 4?
I am might equal 3.
Damn. So what that mean?
Well, first off, let's make your point again, and we're going to take it step by step.
So Breonna Taylor's killers, the police officers or the former police officers, the fuck boys.
Okay, mistake.
Who killed Breonna? Oh, because they fuck boys?
Nah, because you called them murderers and killers and fuck boys. But go ahead.
Oh, alleged. Excuse me. I forgot. You're right. Alleged murderers, killers, and fuck boys. You're right.
Wasn't even what I was getting at, but that's brilliant.
But they were fired by, what's the Louisville Police Department? They were fired.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they were fired for killing her, basically. Mm-hmm. But they still haven't been arrested. So the firing indicates that they did something wrong. And in this case, their wrongdoing was a murder. So they need to be arrested because them being fired means that they did something wrong, which we know they did something wrong. So arrest their ass.
So there are three critical mistakes made. There are three critical mistakes you just made.
Okay, go ahead. Enlighten me, my brother. Okay.
You called them killers, murderers, and fuckboys. And it's well known that in white America, you can't be all three. You got to pick one. So These were police officers. They were actually neither of the three, right? So that's mistake one, right? Now, I don't care what you Niagara Falls feel about it. These were police officers.
Nakers.
So
we prefer Nakers.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't care what you Nickers feel about it. You got your Nickers all up in a bunch, too. These were police officers. So the second mistake you made was the assumption that just because they were fired, they did something wrong. No, actually, the second mistake, that was the third mistake you made, was the assumption that just because they were fired, they did something wrong. The second mistake
you're right. I'm sorry, not to cut you off. You're right. You are correct because people get fired for being the best that they can be and being at the top of their jobs all the time. I mean, every day somebody is fired for excelling in their positions. You're right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so
The
second mistake you made was assuming that they got punished because they killed her. They didn't get punished because they killed her. They got punished because they killed her and it got out. That's what they got punished for. If they had killed her, nobody knew about it but the police department, they would still have their jobs. But because everybody found out about it, all right, y'all fucking up the code. Y'all got to go. So those are the three mistakes, three flaws in your argument.
Okay, because they basically what they did exposed all the other bullshit that was going on. And that's why they got fired, because nobody was supposed to know.
Right. They got fired for snitching, essentially.
Okay, keep it on the down low.
Right.
Because nobody has to know.
Keep it on the down low. Down low.
Okay. All right. Yeah, but so white boys did pull a drive-by at the protest for her, though. The people did get shot. And so I was thinking about that as I was either looking at it, reading it, or listening to it, and I was just thinking about it. It's time for black people to be prepared for white people fuck shit at all times. We got to be strapped up, shouty, at all times when we're doing things, anything that promote anything against white supremacy. Because white people are willing to die to keep this shit alive. Are we willing to die to truly be free? And I think that's one thing we have to think about. Think about how often black people get injured by white people retaliating against black people who are fighting against white supremacy. And the white people come ready and prepared. And they come with the mindset, I'm finna kill me a nigga. And we come with the mindset of we're promoting peace. And peace and terrorism don't go together. Usually terrorism wins over peace. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not faulting black people for doing anything. All I'm saying is white people don't give a fuck. White people gonna kill anything that threatens anything about white supremacy. So they gonna come ready to kill black folk, and we have to be prepared for any and everything white folk got coming. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's cute, but you know, I still don't think black folk have accepted some of the things that I feel like they need to accept. The number one thing being the thing you always say, white people don't like you. Like I'm not talking about like your white friend or your white spouse or your half white kids or your white grandparent. I'm not talking about that white person. Right? Like, there are white persons, white individuals, that could love the shit out of your black ass. They could love the tar out of the bottom of your shoes. But when I say black people or white people, I'm talking about white culture. The culture itself does not like you. It does not value you as a person, as a human being, as an equal, or as any of those other things that you want to think that you are. And this is why talking to a white person is not going to solve the problem. The problem is not that person, it's the system and the culture of the people as a collective, and there ain't nothing that your black ass can do that can change that. That's a change that white people, it's like, right, like, so you meet a girl, right, and she just thinks she's the ugliest thing in the world, and so she got low self-esteem. You could tell that girl that she's beautiful every day of her life, but as long as she still thinks she's ugly, she got low self-esteem.
Yeah.
There ain't
yeah,
nothing
you can
do
that.
About that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's real, though. That's real. You can't make somebody change into what you want them to change into. That person has to want change, or that, or those group of people have to want change. And white people don't have any incentives in giving up white power.
Mm-mm.
Like, they don't. Like, white people have no incentives in giving up white power. Like, I was having a conversation with folks a while ago, and, you know, we're going through. I probably said the last show, I'm going to say it again. But we're talking about white people giving up power, because that's the real thing that has to happen to end white supremacy. And everybody was like, man, they ain't going to do that, because we know that. So, I mean, bringing it back to these protests and these marches and things, I just think black people, we need to be able to protect ourselves when we go out. And if we ain't talking about, if we ain't ready to protect ourselves, we tripping. We just not really paying attention. You know what I'm saying?
Well, clearly we ain't paying attention, because we felt like the best way to fight what's happening is to congregate out in the goddamn streets during the middle of a goddamn pandemic. I mean, look, people, I get it, and I'm not accusing, and I'm not criticizing. Well, I am criticizing, but I'm not attacking anybody who felt the need to be out there in the streets. What I am attacking is all of the people who just took it as an opportunity to get out of their house because they was tired of being in the house, and all of the people that are taking it as just an opportunity to be out and about. You know, I'm riding through the city of Charlotte, and I'm seeing people having block parties. I'm seeing people turn up. I'm seeing all of this stuff. We're seeing videos of people twerking in front of the cop. Like, that's not protest.
Yeah, that shit's stupid. That shit's stupid, girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the freak in me was like, ooh. But the real Joseph was like, this shit's stupid.
The real Joseph.
Like, it's not going to accomplish anything.
Right. And that's where I'm going back to, you know, like, what are we doing? Like, you know, and I don't think people get it. I don't think people are trying to get it. I think people are enjoying the opportunity to be out, and then I think other people are just enjoying the opportunity of to go ahead.
Nah, it's funny as you're saying that. I'm scrolling through Twitter as you're saying that, and I come across this post, and they got two pictures of this girl. Like, one of them at the beach, look like probably in Miami at the beach, and they look like they sharing a liquor bottle with a group of people and stuff. And the next one is she talking about her COVID-19 symptoms. Get your dumb ass in the house.
Right.
I don't care that nobody opened up nothing. Get your dumb ass in the house.
And so this is where I'm like, COVID cases are on the rise again. They're talking about
especially in Florida.
Especially in North Carolina, too. And especially in a lot of the states, especially the ones that's having big protests. And large people or young people now, they're not even covering it up. Now young people are bearing the brunt of this second wave of COVID. Go figure.
No age
they
matters.
Out there in the streets.
No age matters.
And so when this second wave, and really you call it a continuation of the first wave, but when this second wave starts knocking off young black people, everybody's going to be looking around at this person, at that person, at this person, at that person. And I'm talking specifically to you black people. At that point, we're in a place where I'm going to be forced to be the asshole and say, no, black people are not dying because of white supremacy. Black people are dying because we chose not to be smart about how we fought back. And so we were all out there in the streets. We got COVID, and now our young people are going to start dying.
Like, Thursday and Friday, I was tested for COVID 3 times. I did 2 finger pricks and 1 nose swab. They touched my motherfucking brain, dog. After she pulled that shit out of my nose, I was like, you know you could be subject to me too as whatever. I would violate. You touch my mother, dog. She put that bitch back. But when she pulled that bitch out, bro, I'm talking about my nose shit still clear. Now, I feel like I could whistle a whole song with my left nostril. That shit's so motherfucking clear. Like, it didn't hurt. It was just weird because it was in my shit like that. And I'm like, ah. But I got tested because I know I've been around the Rona working at Corona testing sites. I know I've been around. So it wasn't no big deal for me to get tested. But you have more people getting tested. You have a lot of people who are not getting tested, and a lot of people who are saying, well, if I don't have certain signs and symptoms, I'm not taking specific tests, especially like the deep nose test. But a lot of people are not getting tested on a regular basis, and a lot of people are just like, well, fuck it, I'm just going to live my life and all these things. Like you saying, once we really start seeing a large number of young people dying, some young people, not all of them, some of them still think they're fucking invincible. Even though every year we learn that they not, but they don't. But some young people are gonna take heed and be like, you know, I'm gonna chill out. Like, you know, I wanna go out too. I've been out like twice since they reopened things, but I've only been around people who I knew didn't have it. Cause hell, we all been around each other because we all had to go to work with around each other. So that's the only people that I've been around. So, You have to. I'm not telling nobody to be confined, but you have to be smart about what you're doing. Don't be seeking large crowds. Don't be trying to go to the club. Don't be trying to go to these bars and all these places where you know COVID can be easily passed. Like, be smart.
I mean, I look around and I see a bad situation getting ready to unfold. You know, a lot of the benefits from the stimulus package are starting to run out. Landlords are starting to getting ready to be able to evict people again.
Yeah.
Power and shit is getting ready to be able to be cut off. Like,
it's gonna get bad.
Yeah, and at the same time, a lot of people still don't have jobs because they were laid off, or, you know, like, it's a lot that's coming down the pipe right now, and the last thing we need is to be dealing with the lack of housing, the lack of food. Schools might not be open, but even if they are, the complications that's going to come from that, and then to have a second wave of Corona ripping its way through our community in a way that we know that it's probably going to be, because it was already kicking our ass before all of this shit started.
But see, and that's the thing, though. We're still in the first wave. Like you said earlier, like, this still first wave. This ain't no second stuff. This still first wave Rona. People just took their dumb asses back outside.
Yeah. Way too soon. And so even to that, I get, and like I said, I'm not criticizing the people who honestly felt like they needed to go out there to show their displeasure in what happened. Like, you know, you do what you got to do.
Protesting was a necessity. That needed to happen.
Right, and I'm not right. And so I'm not even trying to take no shots. The shots I'm taking are at the people who didn't really care one way or another. They just wanted to get outside of the house. Now I am taking shots at the people who are continuing to try to throw block parties and all this other stuff. I am taking shots at those people. I am taking shots at a lot of what's happening now, because the narrative of the protest has even shifted away from racial justice to generalized police brutality. And then the Occupy movement has jumped in and they've done their thing. And then you got the LGBT movement that's jumped in and they're doing their thing. And black people have kind of gotten lost in the sauce. And all of these cute-ass companies are saying all of this Black Lives Matter shit. And now they don't none of that mean shit. It's just, it's easier for them to say it and not suffer penalties to their bottom line than it is for them not to say it and suffer penalties to their bottom line. And you got celebrities bickering all over the place about stupid shit. Like, I don't know, man. I just don't see it. Everything just looks like it's going to be bad when it finally coalesces. And I don't see anybody getting ready for that.
Yeah, I mean, of course we know there are a lot of people in survival. So this is not to the people who are already just trying to make it by before Corona was even a thing. But for the people who have the resources and are still just letting shit happen, you trip. For the ones who are supposed to be intellectuals, for the ones who's supposed to, like, always the blackest in the room or certain things, we're not prepared. Black people are not really prepared for a lot of these things, and we know that it's going to hit our, I guess you could say, the people who are closer to the poverty line or below the poverty line, it's going to affect them the worst. We already know that. We already knew that. But hell, there's going to be a lot of people who are well above the poverty line who are not going to be able to help themselves, because they weren't prepared. So we won't be able to help a lot of people below the poverty line. I mean, it's a sad reality that we're going to have to deal with. I mean, think about it. On the same podcast in January, you specifically laid out everything that was going to happen with COVID, and here we are.
Yeah, it's just, I look out and I'm like, okay, we're here now. What do we do? Well, we can't do nothing because people have stopped communicating, you know what I'm saying? Like, and now, even now the narrative around everything is starting to turn around. Like, here, everybody's talking about the mass shooting. You know what I'm
saying? Well, yeah. Yeah, so... Well, people in Charlotte talking about it. Ain't nobody else talking about that, though. and that's the thing. So bring us up to speed on what happened with that, man.
So, essentially, they were having a Juneteenth celebration, and the celebration ended. They managed to get a couple hundred people, about 400 people together, according to the reports. And after the celebration ended, everybody decided to stick around and have an after party. And this was all, yes, in the middle of COVID, in case anybody was wondering. And so during the after party, from what I understand, there was an altercation between some people. I don't know what the altercation was about, but guns got pulled out, and people started firing at each other or into the crowd. I'm not real sure which one, but needless to say, bullets were flying from multiple directions.
Okay, hold up. Say that part again. I just want to make sure I wrap my mind around it, because the headline said mass shooting, because it don't sound like you're describing a mass shooting. It sounds like you're describing like a whole bunch of people shooting at each other.
No. It wasn't a mass shooting in that regard, like what we're used to hearing, where it's a lone gunman taking shots at a bunch of different people.
It's like a Negro mass shooting.
Yeah, it's a.
Okay.
I don't even.
So motherfuckers just shot some shit up. Basically, what you're saying.
Yeah, it was a bunch of people. It was a bunch of people shooting. Where they shoot, and nobody really knows who they were shooting at, because bullets was flying from a bunch of different angles, from a bunch of different weapons, and everybody started scattering. So from what I understand, 15 to 20 people were actually hit, 5 of them were killed, but in the panic, there were also, I think, a number of people that were run over by cars, and I think 2 or 3 of the people were died from being run over by a car. Because in the panic, you basically had like 400 or 500 people, like 300 or 400 people on one corner hanging out, having a block party. When bullets fly out, everybody disperses. People are running for their lives. Naturally, people that are closer to their cars are going to get in their cars and try to drive away. And as they're driving away, other people are running in the road trying to get away. You're going to accumulate some points. So that's what essentially happened, from what I understand. And it's just, it's an all-around tragic situation, in the sense that, one, what was supposed to be a Juneteenth celebration, which is a celebration that a lot of people take a lot of pride in, that went dark. I do feel like the organizers were just trying to bring the community together, because they chose to have it in one of the more violence-prone communities here in Charlotte, the black community here in Charlotte. So they were probably trying to instill some sense of unity and whatnot. And you know what happened, happened. So it was just, it's just a bad, a all-around bad situation that people died from getting shot and from being run over by cars. But you also have to wonder about the pandemic. And the reason I keep bringing the pandemic up is that if you get affected with COVID, is you might be okay. But what about the other people that you could potentially pass it to? What about your elderly people, your grandparents, your mom, your dad, your great-grandparents? What about the younger people, your children, your infants, your toddlers, your nieces, your nephews, yeah, your cousins? Like, all of these people, because you wanted to go hang out and you think you'll be fine, you could potentially be endangering so many more people. And that's and so even for me, even bigger than the tragedy of the violence that happened in that moment was the fact that when all of those people started running around and all of that bodily fluid started spreading, you're potentially spreading corona.
It increases stuff even more off of some crazy shit that's happening. Yeah, because they framed it as a mass shooting, like somebody came in and just decided to shoot it up like a white boy.
It wasn't like that.
Okay. Okay, so so there were protests. There were protests about that.
There haven't been specific protests that I know of, but there have been talks about protests, and there have definitely been talks about getting children involved in marches up and down the streets in order to talk about quote unquote black on black crime and to talk about police brutality. There's a lot of talks. And from what I understand, it's happening all over the country, centering around getting kids involved more directly involved in protests.
Okay, okay, all right. So let's talk about this. Oh shit! All my shit folded. So you want to get kids involved in protest to stop black on black, to stop the violence. First of all, let's stop fucking saying black on black violence. We ain't gonna say white on white violence or Asian on Asian on violence or Bangladeshian on Bangladeshian violence, because we don't say that shit. So we're just gonna say violence in the black community. All right, so these adults who, a lot of them, because let's just be real, from working in the community, we know most motherfuckers don't do shit for the people. Let's just be real.
Right.
From working in the community. So for a lot of ones who may not be working in the community, one of the ideas that they come up with is let's put some kids out there protesting and things. Because, you know, it's not like protests are not getting violent. It's not like tensions with police at this particular time are higher than usual. So let's put some kids out there and then put them in the line of fire, possibly, maybe. I mean, so the overall purpose of this would be to combat violence within the black community. Well, I mean, protests are not going to do it. How are you going to deal with systemic issues? That's how you combat the violence or quell the violence. I mean, if we know poverty is one of the main issues, we know racism is one of the main issues. We can't make white people stop being racist, but we can deal with poverty. So how do we deal with poverty? How do we help each other better? Like marching ain't going to help. Black people marching so black people stop doing stuff like that, not going to stop shit. Like, we got to get out there. We got to start being better black people as a whole. I mean, we shouldn't have to march. Black people shouldn't have to march on black people. And we should just be like, all right, well, let's get our shit together. Like, all you adults, like, be better adults.
I agree.
Just saying.
I agree wholeheartedly. I don't see, and there's been a lot of those footages that, in my opinion, are nothing but people trying to get famous off their kids sharing pain and hurt and anguish. And I don't like it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's one thing if the kids actually are aware of what's going on and they know what they're doing and why they're doing it. But I've seen a couple of interviews from kids, and you can tell that they're just out there because some adult put them out there. They don't know what's going on. They don't.
What's that one video we was looking at?
The little girl crying.
Yeah.
I can't even. I don't. You know what?
Yeah, no, it was crazy because she was at the screaming Black Lives Matter. She was at the screaming Black Lives Matter, and she broke down crying, and the crowd just bust out clapping. Man, sit y'all dumbasses down.
Right. Right.
Sit y'all dumbasses down.
Why is she out there?
Right. Like, all she know is black people being killed. We probably be out here screaming and stuff, and, oh, I don't like black people being killed. And right. Because motherfuckers ain't breaking it down like they're supposed to. She don't need to be out there.
Absolutely.
Like, you can teach your child about racism without putting them in a situation where the police might act up and fucking around and kill one of the kids.
I'm just
not with it. I've always been against putting women and children and elderly people in harm's way, especially when we're talking about white people. I know we was having a discussion a while back with some folks, and we were talking about like Selma, and I was like, you know, the Bloody Sunday in Selma. And I was just like, me personally, I probably wouldn't have put the women and children out there. And somebody was like, well, that's how they got the attention of the world. And I was like, no, white people getting beat up got the attention of the world, not
right.
Black elderly women and children. And that's the difference, and that's one of the main differences with these protests now. White people are out there getting beat up. White people are out there protesting, period, but white people are out there getting beat up. So that's garnering more attention. It's not the black women. It's not the black children. It's not the black elderly. Nobody gives a fuck about black people. We have to remember that. But when they're seeing white people out there, that's when shit changed.
And that's the part I think that really verifies what we said earlier in the show. White people don't like you. Because it wasn't until white people started getting beat up. I think the old 70-year-old white man getting knocked over and all of that other
stuff. That was a contributing factor to it. I ain't gonna say it was the main catalyst, but it was a contributing factor.
Well, I'm just pointing out, like, people really like that white dude, that old white man got fucking a lot of attention, and it wasn't just him. There were there's been videos that have been pouring out, even videos of black protesters carrying white protesters to safety and all of this other shit. It's white people getting, you know, it just, to me, it accentuates what you just said. White people getting fucked up is what's causing this outrage, this outcry. But even to that, you start looking at what they're doing. The only reason they're talking about defunding, the only reason I believe the political will to defund the police is coming now is, again, because white people are getting fucked up and because the police are very unapologetic about it. So their hands are tied at this point because, like, they got to do something because white people are getting fucked up. So, you know, like, they got to do something. But I'm like, this ain't going to change. The policies I'm looking at, they're not going to change nothing for black people in America. Not in terms of police brutality. How do you legislate that?
Yeah, I mean, because it still comes down to individual behavior. And you can make something illegal all you want, just like a lot of things now. That doesn't mean it's not gonna happen. And the people on that local level have to, you know, they have to enforce it. They really have to do.
Right, but here's the part that people keep missing. What happened to George Floyd was illegal.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I just want to make sure that point is made for people who is like, we need to change the law so that this can't happen again. it wasn't supposed to happen the first time. It's already illegal.
Yeah.
What law are you going to change?
Well, see, and that's why I've been walking away from a lot of conversations that a lot of people have been having, because I'm like, we're so far away from self-sufficiency and doing for self and things that we need to do for ourselves, and we keep expecting the same people who've never done for us to do for us, and we stay in the same cycle, and all it is, all right, we got the next group of 30-year-olds, we got the next group of 40-year-olds who are coming up with these supposed grand ideas that the last group had already tried. A lot of people ain't doing their research. They don't know their history, so people keep coming up doing the same thing. Well, this person is in office. Of course, this person gonna do something different. Every now and then you get somebody who want to do something different, but everybody else around them don't. So, I mean, it's the same game that we keep playing, the same cycle we keep going in over and over and over, and we need to get out of that and stop expecting those people who haven't been helping us to just come up and just start helping us. Just like a lot of these fuck-ass corporations and stuff, man. These corporations don't give a shit about black people. This fake-ass Black Lives Matter love, man, don't fall for this shit. Like, come on, man. Like, white people are doing a lot of dumb-ass shit.
Mm-hmm.
Everything but what the fuck black people are asking for. Black people are not marching in the streets saying, change Confederate names. Change Confederate names. Nah, we ain't asking to take down no fucking flags. We ain't asking to change no names. We ain't asking for no fucking statues. We ain't asking for the Dixie Chicks to take Dixie out the Dixie Chicks. We ain't asking for all these white people who've been doing white people stuff all these years, who all of a sudden getting these fantastic revelations now. Like, I seen one with a couple of white people was like, well, I've been doing voiceovers in black and Asian and other people of color voices for this long. Oh, shit, people protesting that. I think I'm going to stop because it's insensitive. Kiss my ass. Kiss my ass. Why wasn't it insensitive 2 years ago? Now, me personally, I don't think like the voiceover stuff. I mean, of course, a black actor could do that. That ain't that serious for me. But just these bitch ass gestures that white people are doing to make it seem like they're for us. You're like, what, you didn't think six months ago, you didn't think that what you were doing may not be the best thing for you to do? Like, come on, man.
Well, they would probably say, I didn't know then, but I know now.
So what the fuck is black people were dying then?
But they
that's my thing with these white folk. That's they fuck they do, they lying. And I know you, but they lying. Because we have social media, we got the videos. We've been looking at videos of motherfuckers get killed since the young man who got killed in a juvenile camp here in Florida. I can't think of his name right now. But we saw that video of him being beat and restrained and roughed up by the staff. We saw that. We saw the video of the cops fucking with Sandra Bland. We saw the video of them busting in Corinne Goins. Like, we saw the video of them shooting the man in Walmart. Like, we saw the video of them choking out Aaron Gardner. We saw the video of Ferguson with Michael Brown. Like, we saw, we've been watching videos of black people. I can literally get on Facebook Watch and watch 24 straight hours of police brutality, and half of them will be police deaths with black people. We've been looking at this shit for a long time. So white people who saying they didn't know, you motherfuckers is lying. I just had to get out of my chair.
Nah, hey man. Let it all hang out, shit.
Oh.
Let it all hang out.
That's just where I'm at, that man. I mean, it's time for us to wake up and understand, man, what's really going on. And stop expecting people who hate us to love us. Point blank, period.
That's kind of where I'm at with it. Like, if you're not if you're not talking about creating a space where black people are safe to just be black people, and not having to demand other people to be nice to us, then you ain't serious. Like, I'm not saying you don't have to also make those demands. I get the duality of how this shit works. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't just let a motherfucker do something to you and not say that that's not cool. Like, I get it. You got to say that it's not cool. But at the same time, the work you do to make yourself safe is the work that you do to make yourself safe. It's not the work that you ask and beg somebody else to do to make you safe. And that's kind of where I'm like, look, man, at some point, we got to stop asking these motherfuckers to leave us alone and start building a community that makes it more difficult for them to do the shit.
Right.
They do.
Right. Right. I have to complain about nobody bullshit when you're doing your own shit.
Right. 100%.
Hey, did you hear the story about the black activist who was shot by the same police department he trained on biases?
I did not hear that story.
All right, let me read a little bit for you. And the story that has made... I was ready if I had this shit queued up. And the story that has made headlines for being equal parts ironic and tragic, it is now has been confirmed that a black community activist in San Jose, California, was shot by the very same police department he spent 3 years training on implicit bias. Now, this just hammers home what we've been saying. That's all this says, just hammer home what we've been saying. According to a local ABC affiliate, the mayor's office released a press release stating that during a May 29th protest demonstration, community organizer Derek Sanderson suffered potentially permanent injuries after being shot by police with rubber bullets. Sanderson, who personally knows San Jose Police Chief Eddie Garcia and spent years working with the department to train recruits on better ways to engage with the community, said he was disheartened to see how those same officers were treating protesters. Okay, I wonder why. I really just couldn't watch it anymore, he said, the protest coverage, and just kind of made like a parallel walkover. I put my hands up and just stood in line of fire and asked them to please don't do this. I paused for a moment like maybe this doesn't hurt, and falling afterwards is like the most painful experience he recalled. A 27-year-old was shot in the testicle. Damn. And required emergency surgery. Doctors say there is a chance the injury rendered him infertile and that he wouldn't know for sure until he has a wife and tried to conceive. So, damn. He says, and I just started weeping at the thought of that, explained his wife, Kayla, whom he married 4 years ago. You know, we do want kids, and we're very close to having kids. There has been a real leader in our community, yada, yada, yada. That's what the chief's saying. That's that bullshit, but it just hammers not. And this is tragic that this has happened, but it's just a stark reality that these people who support white supremacy don't give a fuck about black people on any level. It's deeper than hatred.
Yeah, I don't, and I think people keep being caught up in this conversation about hatred. I don't think hatred has shit to do with it. Like I'm not saying that they don't hate you, but yeah, it's something a lot deeper than just I don't like black people. A lot of those white supremacists and people out there, they don't. I believe that a lot of them would honestly say and would be telling the truth when they say I don't hate black people. Cause
right.
You know, like it's a real kind of childish notion to think that everybody that does something against you, they're doing it because they hate you. You know, that that's a very simplistic, like, one-size-fits-all type of argument to make. People are a lot more complicated than that. You know, ideas and things are a lot more complicated. That's the same conversation we have when a white person says, well, if you say you're pro-black, then that means you're anti-white, and we get into these elaborate conversations about, no, it's not. That means I love my people. Like,
well,
go ahead.
Okay. Carl Linnaeus. Johann Blumenbach, Charles Darwin, and a host of other white scientists, social scientists, whose names don't really come to mind right now because I don't know them as well. Because I was doing some reading lately because I'm about to put together a video on the origins of racism. And if you read the information around these people, these people created the ideas. They basically created racism. These people did. They created race and racism and the ideas of inferiority and superiority between races. But they were not regarded as racist people. A lot of these people were against slavery, but for the separation of people by classifying them from inferior to superior. And but those classifications also helped to justify the unjust killings of black people and other people. It wasn't rooted in hate. It was rooted in white superiority and white people making sure that they do what they need to do to be dominant, to gain dominance and maintain dominance. Shit is deeper than hate. It's strategy and it's tact to remain powerful. Because think about what I just said. The people who created what race and racism is, if you really look at a lot of the stories, it'd be hard to define them as racist, but they did a lot of shit that supported white supremacy. So in my book, your ass still, and anybody smart, but you still fucking racist. But the activity and the rhetoric, the things that they put out, a lot of people wouldn't classify that as racist, but they created fucking racism. It ain't about hate, it's deeper than hate. It's right. About the maintaining the dominance and power.
And that's the part that I was, going to definitely jump in on was, we're talking about strategy, we're talking about tactics, we're talking about the maintenance of a structure of operation, a hierarchy, if you will. You know, all of those things go beyond simple hatred. So, but we get so caught up in that it's almost like we can't see what's really happening because we want to believe that we know what's really happening and our eyes are closed the whole time. It's like I don't need to see it to know what's going on, but you actually have an incorrect picture of what's going on because you ain't bothered to open your eyes and look at what's happening. So, and then I find it interesting that a dude that taught a course on implicit bias would actually think that after a brief course on implicit bias, he could change implicit bias. Like, implicit bias is deeper than something that you can instruction away in a couple months. Like, you're talking about years and years of pattern formation and recognition and programming and
he only spent 3 years.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and
he only been doing it for 3 years, yeah.
Right. And I'm sure the courses that the officers were going through were not three-year courses. I'm sure they were probably like a couple months long, if that. So even in that, like him being somebody that's teaching implicit bias, you would think he would know better. And I'm not attacking him or criticizing. I'm just saying you would think that somebody that understands the nature of implicit bias would understand the nature of the damage, the potential harm, the danger that you put yourself in.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, because think about what we've been saying the whole time. White people don't fuck with us like that. They don't look at us as human beings like that. And he should have known better. He shouldn't have expected the police to treat him like a human being in that sense, especially if you were teaching the course on implicit bias. I do agree with that.
Yeah, that's literally all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. How do you find yourself in that situation if you truly understand what's going on? And I'm gonna be honest, and people could like it or not like it or whatever, but the fact of the matter is, we need to start being very critical of our actions, our words, our statements, the things that we do. And that's on everybody's part. Like, if I say some fucked up shit, I expect to be checked on it. And if you say some fucked up shit, you should expect to be checked on it, listeners. And if you do fucked up shit, you should expect people to want to analyze it before they jump out there to support you. And right now, what I'm seeing in terms of just the partying and the blah, blah, like, motherfuckers, it's like, I'm done with COVID. That's good. That don't mean it's done with you. Just cause you tired of being in the house don't mean COVID gonna go back in this house and not come out again. Like, that's not how this works. But that seems to be how people. I don't know, Joe. I'm like I said before we started, I'm frustrated. It's been a lot going on. I'm watching a lot of stuff happening here in town. I'm involved in a lot of what I'm understanding now are dead end conversations. It's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, but these are things that we have to understand, and it is a lot to. It's draining to get the patient work to try to help people really understand what's going on. Because, you know, like, I'm an educator, man. I like teaching. That's what I like doing. So for me, it's not as draining for me. It can get frustrating at times, but. I feel like it's something that we must continue to push on and press on and do is to get our people to really realize what we're up against. Because a lot of white people who really want to wipe us all out and are prepared to wipe us all out, so they think. So they go and stock up on guns and they train and do all these things to literally wipe us out. So we have to really know what we're up against. We're up against terrorists. Go back and watch all those Viking movies and all those movies of white people in the 11th and 7th century and 1st century, all those when they cannibals and Vlad Dracula. That's what we're dealing with. That's the foundation of what we're dealing with. Real people who will cut your heart out and eat it right there. People who support white supremacy, you can't put nothing past them. So, yeah. That's all I got to say about that. Real nigga.
Oh, we on the fix now?
Nah. But, you know, I say that. Oh, for real?
Yeah.
I don't even really be paying attention to that shit.
I guess like Emmanuel when he did his boom 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 things, his last show he was talking about boom 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 we back, and then he was like, I just realized I ain't know that I was saying boom 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 until, you know, Fee told him that he say boom 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 every time he come back, which he does every single time, boom boom boom.
Right.
But yeah, you say that.
That's all I got to say about that.
That's
all you be thinking about. Well, you say it, but you don't really be thinking about that shit like that. You just come out. Hey, man. I'm starting an R&B group, so y'all stay tuned for that shit. It's really going down. We're going to be at a convenience store near you.
In the south.
Yeah, Corona tried to mess us up a little bit, but, you know, we're taking it virtual. Remember, if you want to advertise with the Freedom Train Network, because we got the ad packages, if you want to advertise, make sure you email us at thankyou@freedomtrainradio.com or joe@freedomtrainradio.com or patrick@freedomtrainradio.com. Y'all remember tune in to the Fix Sports Podcast every Monday. Lessons from the Screen every third Saturday, right? You changed to Saturday, right?
No, it's Thursday.
So Lessons from the Screen every Thursday. Make sure y'all check out the podcast. Check out Enigma, Sept Hour every Friday, and Shelby's World every Wednesday.
I probably should do it every Saturday, though.
I thought you talked about doing that.
I did talk about it, but I never actually did it.
Hey.
I probably should, though.
Check
out Lessons from the Screen whenever it come out. If you subscribe to the show, you'll know when it come out.
Hey, Mississippi legislator passes a bill to eliminate the Confederate symbol from the flag. Yeah. But they're not going to eliminate racism from the state.
I saw that. I don't agree with none of that shit either, because I'm like, yo, let the rest be public with your racism. Don't ban all signs of it, but still be racist. Like, no.
Right. So, yeah. Anywho, man, we're from the South, man, so we like our racism out front. I know some people don't, but we like our racism out front. So. And we understand system white supremacy is evolving. And if you want to let it go covert, it's still going to go covert, but they ain't going to stop. So.
Right. So just let a racist be comfortable in their racism. Just know that they're racist and you ain't got to fuck with them. That's it. Problem solved.
Right. Any parting shots, man?
In your motherfucking face.
In your motherfucking face. I'm horny. So any ladies out there, let me stop. Let me stop being for real. I know. Let me stop being for real. So. Nah, man. Hey, man. It's the Prison Train Podcast Series. I'm Joseph Boyd. He's Patrick Irvin. Y'all make sure y'all hit us up. www.prisontrainradio.com. And we do what we do when we do what we do. So two fingers in the air, man. Two fingers. And then smell them.